We're off-roading again and in a Jeep, an old black Jeep, and we're going and finding some people. Amen? And the Word of God that you'd probably never hear about, and you would have never heard about Jabez unless you carefully read your Bible and you would have come across him in a genealogy, a listing. But a lot of people have heard of Jabez now because a man named Bruce Wilkerson wrote a book called, say it with me, The Prayer of... How many in this room read that book, The Prayer of Jabez? Now let's take another test. How many in this room today, J-A-B-E-S, Jabez, you ain't heard of him? You don't know nothing about him. Can I see your hand? Good. Amen. Here we go. Sound like a man from the country, though, don't it? Go down and see Mr. Jabez down there, and he'll fix you up. Right? Here we go. Jabez. Let's say, come on. Jabez. Can y'all help me? Come on. Jabez. That's how you say it. Not Jabez. No, it's Jabez. Amen. That's who we're talking about today. Jabez. Jabez. It's really important that you understand this part of the title. A man of, say it with me, pain to a man of, one more time, a man of, to a man of, one more time, a man of, to a man of. See, I think so often we got it wrong. We think, see, we're real spiritual, and we pray, and that's how we pray, because we're just real spiritual. No, you pray because you're in trouble. You pray because you hurt. You pray because, God help me, if you don't help me, I'm done. It's over. I'm finished. I can't make it without you. Is that why we pray? Yes or no? I mean, we can dress it up all we want to. You can have all that mess. Man, I need to pray because I need help. Jabez was a man of pain to a man of prayer. So let's look at his life today. And I'm really excited about this message. I was real careful to not even turn on my computer when I put this message together. Because nobody really heard of Jabez that much till the book, The Prayer of Jabez, was written. And he did a great job. But I did not want to look at what other people said, because I knew what other people said, they were going to take it from what the guy who wrote the book said. Y'all listening or not? So I wanted to find out, since it's only a couple of verses, I just wanted to get a different perspective perhaps. And maybe I wouldn't get a different perspective. But I didn't want to be influenced, per se, by what he said. So I went back to like the 1600s and looked at a guy who does some verse-by-verse writings. I have him in my library, and I read it. You know, and he does the King's English. I use the King James, so it's all that these and thousands stuff, you know, that I'm reading along. And he didn't have a whole lot on him, but even in the 1600s, when he came across this verse or two of this guy, he did slow down a little bit in his studying. I could see this guy affected even this guy back in the 1600s who was writing and studying the Scriptures. Did I lose you when I just said that? So I got a little bit of perspective from him, but today I just wanted to make it real simple. Let's learn today. Here we go. 1 Chronicles 4:9. That's the book we're in. 1 Chronicles 4:9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name, say it with me, Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now there ain't but two verses on him, and that's one of them. How can we learn if there ain't but two verses? Jabez, he's from the line or the tribe of Judah. Basically, there's a genealogy that's given here in the book of Chronicles in chapter 4. And it's a listing of the names of different people like this. The sons of Judah, then Perez, Hezron, Camri, Hur. And it keeps listing as you go down through there. So we see Jabez's name listed down there in verse 9. It starts out in verse 1 that this is the tribe of who? Judah. Got it? So we learned something. We don't know whose son he was. I mean, a lot of times in the genealogies, it'll say so-and-so begat so-and-so who begat so-and-so. So you get to know who their daddy is. This daddy had this boy. This boy who became the daddy of this boy. You see what I'm saying? Weird. I'm reading down through there. It don't tell me who his daddy was. It just tells me above that, and not even with certainty, but it tells me he was of a certain family. The families of. So it gives this name of like Smith or something. That don't tell me a whole lot. It's like God, when he gave the scriptures, he was having them spoken, because that's how we got the scriptures. We believe, according to the word of God, they were God-breathed. Men of God received the scriptures and wrote them down as God gave utterance. And it's like when God was giving scripture, he's going, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so. And he's like, hold the phone. Jabez. I mean, I care about his dad and everything, but I mean, this guy Jabez, he stood out. And I'm just going to say family of, because I just want you to focus on this guy. He was phenomenal, incredible. Y'all hearing me this morning? Why the name Jabez? Why that name? Because it's clear as crystal. Because his mother bore him in sorrow. So the name Jabez means pain. She bore him in sorrow. I don't know if the sorrow that she had when she had that boy was so extreme. Perhaps, you know, Rachel, when she had Benjamin, she named him Benjamin Benoni, remember? Because she died in childbearing, and Benjamin was named Child of Sorrow. Jabez has the name Pain. Is it because his mother had such pain and damage and hurt? Is that why she named him Jabez? Was it because he was like that when he was born? Wasn't it supposed to live? All messed up, troubled as a little tiny little baby. When she looked at him, oh man. I don't know. All I know is Mama named him that for some reason. Amen? Why would she do that? So his name means pain. Say that with me. His name means what? Pain. And it don't mean like pain in the rear or something. Got it? It means sorrow, suffering, hard. Got it? Yes or no? Jabez. Pain. And so Mama took special care and gave him his name to him. So it would be remembered for generations. I think God led her to do it. Because I think time was going to come. A time when you were living. And a man was going to write a book. And it would sell millions and millions and millions and millions of copies. And it would just take the world by storm. A few years ago, this little book called The Prayer of Jabez. And I think that's how our God is. Our God is like that. I'm going to show the world that a man of pain can become a man of prayer. I'm going to show the world. The world is going to model this man's life. This man I hardly mention in the Word of God. Many people are going to want to pray what he prayed and learn how he prayed, because he went from pain to prayer to getting his name on the cover of a book, one of the best sellers ever, The Prayer of Jabez. You ought to get it. It's only about that big. You can read it, what, an hour easy? So why? Why name him that? Perhaps to give God the glory for the miracle of his life. Perhaps to give comfort to her and others of God's goodness that he brought us through this childbirth. Perhaps because God wanted all of us to know how we can make our pain work for us. I think that's why that name was given. I want you to remember that. Because of Jabez, I got comfort in my office this week. Did y'all know that? Yeah. Because of Jabez, being in the Word of God this week, I got lifted, and I needed lifting this week. It's incredible. God gave him that name. The Bible says back in verse 9, Jabez was more what? Honorable than his brethren. Don't go to sleep on me. Hang in here. Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. Okay? So this mama's boy, who seemingly caused the most pain physically, became the one who made her as well as others exceedingly glad. Did y'all get that? This boy who didn't like to maybe do anything, I don't know, became the one who was most honorable out of all the family. And I think that's another reason his daddy won't mention. I think Jabez became more honorable than all his brothers and all his family and anybody close to him. So his name pops out at us in the Scripture. This boy who grew to be the man Jabez became more honorable than all who were in his family. Keep looking. As a matter of fact, say that with me. A city was named after him. Now you've done something when they start naming a city after you. Amen? They named a city after him. There's only two verses in the Bible about Jabez. You see the name Jabez in one other spot. It's in 1 Chronicles 2:55. And the families of the who? Scribes dwelt at Jabez. So a city was named after this man. It was named Jabez. Who dwelt there? Scribes. What does that tell us? Scribes lived there. Let's look. Scribes. This town, this little city, would be like Harvard. That's Harvard University to your right. It'd be like Harvard in 1642. Not the Harvard of today. It'd be like Harvard back in 1642, which was established for literature, knowledge, scripture, teaching of the Word of God, translating the Word of God. That's the name Jabez. It was named for this city. For scribes. Who were scribes? They were writers and keepers of public documents, especially the Scriptures. They were people who were learned in the law. They were teachers of the law. That was that town. When you went there, whoo, look at all them people. They were leaders of all what? Literature. They were members of the judiciary. And by the way, the people that lived there were esteemed with great honor and what? Respect. Well, this guy must have been some guy, huh? Not any town's named after him. Where the scribes live. Wow, why? So I'm in my office wondering, why? Okay, so yes, the city they lived in, that the scribes lived in, was called what? Jabez. So you should know something now already this morning. Jabez's name means what? Pain. Was there a city named after him, yes or no? Who lived there? All right, we're getting somewhere. Let's keep looking. Jabez was more what, the Bible says? Honorable. One more time. He was more honorable. Why? God, you ain't give me but like one verse. Why was he more honorable? Well, let's go with what we know, and you ought to do that when you study your Bible. Instead of getting all spooky and making up new things that ain't in the Bible, why don't you just concentrate on what is in there? Amen? I get on watch on television all the time. These preachers that get on there and make up stuff that ain't even in that book. It ain't there. Where did you come up with that junk? Well, it does get me money. Yeah, I know it does, but it's junk. It ain't in the book. Stay with what you know. That's the best way to study your Bible. Did y'all hear that, church? So let's go with what we know. How do I know this man was honorable? Because the Bible tells me so. Well, what is it that made him honorable? Pop it up. That right there. He was a praying man. He was a praying man. How do I know that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because there's a verse 10. He was a praying man. What made him more honorable? We try to get honor so many ways in our life. How about prayer? How about taking your pain to Jesus? Well, I can't take my pain to you. If I take my pain to Jesus, somehow I'm going to be honorable? Yeah. Well, I thought if I told everybody about all my pain and whined about it all the time, that's how I'd get honorable. No, that's how you're going to get lonely. Amen? Prayer. He prayed. Verse 10, we're going to look at this verse right here. We're going to break it down. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. He was a praying man. He called on the one true God. Newsflash, you can call on whoever you want to. But if you're not calling on the God of the Bible, you're not praying to anybody. Excuse me. There's one God, God the Father, amen, in three persons. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that when we pray in Jesus' name. Why? Because He's seated, guess where? At the right hand of who? God the Father, making intercession for our sins. Is that what the Bible teaches? Absolutely. It's the only way to pray. This man's in the Old Testament. He's calling on the God of Israel. He's praying to the one true God, the God of Israel. The God of Israel is the only God who can hear and answer prayer. And did you know what God calls that? Honorable. It's dishonorable. I know it's ugly when I talk like this. It's dishonorable to God to pray to any other God than Jehovah God and His Son Jesus Christ. I don't care how well-meaning a person might be, it's dishonorable to a holy God, to the one and true God, to call on any other God. And we can dress it up and call it anything we want. It's still dishonorable. I don't care what you call it. It ain't going above the ceiling. That's ugly, ain't it? It's the truth. His prayer that he prays was actually a what? Say it with me. It was a what? Vow. It was a vow. You need to know this. He starts off his prayer this way. He calls on the God of Israel. Then he says this, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." He starts off his prayer like that. It's sort of weird. "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." And then it was neat reading this guy from the old days because he understood the King's English really well and the way the structure of the sentence is. The idea is this. Have you ever prayed like this? "God, if you'll bless me, then I'll do." Have you ever said that before? Say. You ever prayed like that? "Lord, if you'll bless me to do this, if you'll bless me with this, I'll do this with this." Amen. "If you'll do this, I'll do this." That's the kind of prayer he prayed. He said, "God, if you'll bless me, then I will." That's how his prayer went. "God, if you'll bless me, oh, that you would bless me indeed." The idea behind this, if you'll bless me, I will. Here's the problem when you look at that verse. I will what? He doesn't tell us. He leaves the space blank. We're not told. He essentially leaves the vow blank. He says, "God, if you will bless me, then I will." And here's the idea behind this verse. Little image here for you. Jabez gives God the green light. Do you pray to God like that? Does God have to do everything just the way you say? "God, if you do this, then I'll do this." There's nothing wrong at all to say, "Hey, God, if you'll bless me, I will." But boy, we need to do it the Jabez way. If you're going to make a vow like that, "God, if you'll bless me, then I will do whatever you tell me to do. Go wherever you have me go. Say whatever you have me say. Be whatever you have me to be." Jabez gave God the green light. That's why the blank ain't filled in. "God, if you bless me, do with me as you will. I'll follow your command. I'll do as you say for the rest of my life." Well, you're a little boy of pain. You can't do nothing. You're a pain boy. Well, he thought he might could do better. So he called on people other than people around him. He called on the God of heaven, the one true God, the God of Israel. He said, "If you'll bless me, this boy of pain, bless me good, then I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll give you the green light in my life." Do you give God the green light, say? Or do you give God the yellow light? Do you go and, "Oh, no, you need to slow down. Caution, God. Watch out. Woo, come on." Or do you give God the red light? Stop! Not Jabez. Jabez gave God the green light. Do you tell God that you can only go so far? Do you tell Him that? "I'll do this, but now I can't do that. There's no way I can't do that. I know it says it in the Word, I can, but I can't do that." Is that how you talk to God? Or regardless of the pain that you've gone through, do you give God the green light? Say, are y'all awake? You're killing me. I sometimes think I'm up here on the stage making a spectacle out of myself like a little monkey at a zoo or something. And y'all are like, sing. Dance. I'm sorry, that thought went through my mind. Listen, Jabez said, "Oh God, if you'll bless me, indeed." Amen? That's what he wanted. The language that he uses here is very intense. Say the word intense with me. Intense. So his prayer starts out as a vow. It's a form of a vow. If you'll bless me, I'll do whatever you say to me. You bless me, you give me your blessing, God. I want your blessing on me. And I'll serve you and I'll follow you. But when so you can feel the intensity here. He's very intense. It ain't a let now lay me down to sleep, pray to the Lord my soul to keep. No, Jabez is a man of pain. There's urgency here. There's intensity, but there's also affection. All right? So what did I learn from this? When I'm writing my notes here, Jabez's prayer, say this with me, includes both what? Emotion and what? And help me one more time. It includes what? Emotion and devotion. If you want to be a person of prayer, this little lay me down to sleep, little quickie, it's not going to fly. If you're just going to say a little list of words, where's your heart? Where's your emotion? Do you need him or not? Say, yeah. Are you going to hell down the river there if you don't get him to help you? Yeah, I need you, God. Talk to him like that. Emotion. Got it? Affection. Not like a bellboy. You just do what I say do. No, I love you. You're my only hope. Amen? Let's look at it. So, are you emotionally charged for God's blessing? Are you emotionally charged for God's blessing? If I put the meter on you, would I see some positivity coming out of you for Jesus? Say amen or no. You can tell me all you do for Jesus, but if you ain't emotionally charged for Jesus, don't be talking to me. If we put the meter on you and it's like, meh. Are you devotionally connected for God's blessings? I mean, does God have the cable? Is your cable on God? Are you hooked up to Him? Say, I'm hooked to God. I'm hooked to God. I don't care what you say. You can't pull me off. I'm hooked to God. You might not like me, so I care less. I'm hooked to God. Are you hooked up? Say. That's the question. Are you charged up and are you hooked up? Say that with me. Are you charged up and are you hooked up? Don't tell me about your pain. I mean, I care that you're hurting. Don't get me wrong. But listen, are you charged up and are you hooked up? Because we can deal with that pain you're going through in your life and that struggle if you're charged up and you're hooked up. Okay? Jabez had pain, but he said, Lord, bless me. Oh, but he didn't stop there. Bless me indeed. You feeling it? Charged up and hooked up. Look at it. See that? You got to have both. Emotion without being connected to God will make a crazy person. And devotion without any emotion makes a stoic that's like, who wants to be that? Both are necessary. Keep looking. And by the way, see that Sea Hunt? That's what I drive. Mine's smaller than that, but it looks very close. There's no short here in Jabez. Say that with me. There's no short here in Jabez. What do I mean? He's charged and he's hooked up correctly. If you're charging and your wires aren't hooked up correctly, you can have a short. Guess what happened to me a week ago? I had a short in my boat out in the Gulf of Mexico. Okay, there was a short. And I took my boat in on Monday after being stranded out there for several hours. I took my boat in on Monday, and the guy called me. He said, Pastor, you are one lucky man. And I went back over there, and he had pulled the hood off, and he showed me all the parts of the engine that had actually burned. And he showed me how the gasoline, the carbs, four of them, I guess, are right there by the gas, and he can't imagine why this didn't blow up. And so I was really ticked off that it was going to cost me $900 to get fixed till he just told me I could be blown up. And I was like, where do I sign? You know, crazy, man. But anyway, you don't want a short. You want to be charged up and you want to be hooked up. If you want to go from pain, some serious prayer, man, I'm telling you, you got to be emotionally and devotionally connected to God. Got it? That's what I learned in my office this week with this man. Keep looking. So Jabez, he's all green, baby. Amen? Oh, please. Stop that.
stop that. Let's go. He's all green. Notre Dame lost yesterday. Is that correct? Okay, thank you. Here we go. Here we go. Now let's break this down, and we're doing great on our time, so hang in here with me. Let's look at it. Now let's break down this prayer real quick. A man of pain to a man of prayer. I want to look at the actual prayer that he prayed right now. It's not going to take that long. Pop it up, Rod. Here we go. The prayer. So what do we know for sure that made Jabez more honorable? We know that he was a what? Praying man. That's really all we know, that he was a praying man. Now let's look at his prayer. Let's break it down. Here we go. And Jabez, would you read the prayer with me? Come on, out loud. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Let's break that prayer down. Let's you and I learn this prayer today. The first part of his prayer, you might say, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. You've been a Christian for years and you know how to pray. It ain't that hard. If you have the emotion for God and the devotion to God, oh, my friend, your mouth's just going to open up. And look at this. This is a good prayer. You ought to learn it, write it down, know about it. First of all, he said that God would bless him indeed. He asked God for a blessing. Say that with me. He asked God for a blessing. He said, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Bless me greatly, he says, with an abundance of blessing. Don't be praying like I used to pray. God, I mean, you know, I know you're busy and everything, and you got a lot more problems out there than just mine to work with. And, you know, bless me, but, you know, I just wasn't passionate about it. You ever pray like that, like you're bothering God, and there's a lot of other problems in the world, and he can go deal with those, like God's got a problem? That's dumb. It's arrogant. You're full of yourself, just like I used to be. And I still got some of that full of myself in me. If you're talking to the God of heaven, who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, bless me greatly with abundance of blessing. Man, when you start blessing me, keep them coming. Pour them on me. I want them. Give them to me. Amen? Say, is that all right to talk to God like that? Yes or no? People think I'm crazy. We just do it at the house. You fine. Whatever. Pray to God like that, that God would bless him. He said, I want your blessings, God. That's how he prayed. I want the real thing, not some man thing. Listen, if somebody tells you on TV you got to give them money to buy something and they're going to send it to you and you're going to get blessed, tell them to, don't tell them what I was going to say. But anyway, cut it off. You don't have to do that to get the blessings of God. You don't have to be manipulated by man. Are y'all hearing me today? If there's a God in heaven, he don't need Harry on the TV over there to come up with some little screwy plan for me to get an extra $1,000. Give me a break. Pray, man, to the God of heaven with emotion and passion. When God blesses, they are what? Baby. That's what I want. I want the real thing. So he prays to God. Here's this prayer. Say that with me. Here's the prayer. Come on. Please, God. Bless me with your many. Can we say that again? Why don't you start praying like this? Come on. Please, God, bless me with your many blessings. Oh, can we do that one more time? Come on. Please, God, bless me with your many blessings. You feel better saying that already? Say. Come on. Number two, part of his prayer. Enlarge my coast. He prayed that God would enlarge his coast. Sort of strange language for us. Here's what he's saying. God, prosper my endeavors. Prosper what I'm doing. Things that I'm doing. Now, if they're not honorable, if they're not right, God's not going to bless that. We know that. But what I'm doing, if those things are right with you and they're in line with what you say, God, I'm asking you to bless what I'm doing. Prosper what I'm doing, God. More than anything, I believe he's saying this. Prosper and enlarge my heart. Can you say that with me? Prosper and enlarge my heart for you, God. Make my heart pliable. Make it bigger. You come in. You find space. You fill up my heart. Enlarge you and me, God. This is the man of pain talking. Say this prayer with me. Come on, this is the part. Please, God, enlarge my heart and fill it with you and your holy presence. You think God will answer a prayer like that? Say. Is that, ain't name it, claim it, is it? Enlarge my coast. Give me this. No, that's not what we're talking about here. I don't think Jabez became more honorable talking like that. I think he became more honorable because he said, God, here's my heart. Take my heart and let it be consecrated, Lord, for thee. Fill me up with you, God. Enlarge my heart. I want to serve you. Fill me up, Lord. Amen? I believe God will hear that prayer and answer that prayer. Keep looking. Number three, the third thing. Bless me indeed to enlarge my coast. I believe enlarge my heart. Fill it with you. Prosper what I'm doing if it's in line with what you want me to do. Number three, right here in the verse, and that thine hand might be with me. So he asked that God's hand would be with him. I think we know what that means. Pop it up. I need your presence. Can you say that? I need your presence, God. I don't want to do this life down here with you. I don't want to be on my own. I can't make it on my own. I don't want to be like that. I hurt. Come into me. I think God listens. I need your power in my life. I need your provision. I need you to take care of me, God. I need your protection. Help me, God. You hear him? God, I need your touch in my life. I need it all the time. I need it in every situation. Oh, God, put your hand on me. I need to feel that you're with me. Wow. Not much about him, but there's a lot about him. Amen? Say the prayer part with me that I put up here. Here we go. Please, God, put your hand on my life and touch me. Touch me, God. The fourth part of his prayer. There's four parts to it. The Bible. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil. So he prayed, God, keep me from evil. That's what Jesus prayed, didn't it? How he taught us to pray? Deliver us from what? Jabez, way back in the Old Testament, saying, keep me from the evil one. Keep me from my evil self. Keep me from the evil of enemies. Keep me from the evil of troubles. Keep me from evil. Say that part with me. Pray it with me. Please, God, keep me from evil. Is that too hard to pray? Say. I mean, that's what God tells us he prayed. Now, folks, I don't want to tell you today, you pray that little prayer and it's magic in a bottle. That'd be bull. I'm not going to say that to you. You think that's the only prayer Jabez ever prayed? Say. Pray it every day. I don't believe that for nothing. I believe God put right in the book what he wanted us to have. And it was a prayer that this man prayed. And it was probably the essence of his prayer life and how he prayed. But I'm sure he prayed a lot of things. But I believe we got the best, and I believe we got what God wanted us to have right there. Amen? And there's some good stuff right there. Now watch, we're not done. Watch it. So those four things. So number one, he prayed for blessing. Many blessings. Number two, what was that one? He prayed that God, you'd enlarge my coast or my heart for you. Fill me with you. Number three, keep your hand on me. I pray for your touch on my life. Number four, keep me from the evil one or my evil self or whatever. Amen? And the last thing he said was interesting to me. That part right there on the verse, it says, that it may not grieve me. What? What? And this brought me back to what his name meant. His name means what? Pain. He's a man of pain. He's asking God for help. I don't want to live in my pain anymore. And if I got to keep the pain, I want to rise above that pain. There's a life out here for me. My name means pain, he says. But I don't want to live in that shadow anymore, God. I'm tired of that. I don't want it anymore. Can you hear him or not? I'm trying to scream it so you'll get it. What is your situation? Has your life that you live now been identified? Does everybody know you in your life about the pain that you have? The pain that you have. Because everybody knows about the pain that you have. And it's hard. I know it's hard to live like that. But listen to me, friend. Somehow, we got to get you out of that shadow. I wish I could wave a wand and your pain go away. I can't. And I can't start a TV show and take your money and make you think it's going to go away. I'm not going to do it. But I can tell you this. There's a way to be a person of pain. And for people to remember you not by your pain, but because of your prayer. They can remember you as an honorable person. Because somehow God lifted you. And you know what? I just had a thought. That was my mama. You would not know the pain that woman had if she walked in here. You would have known she'd lived with the devil, that he beat her like a dog in the floor. You'd never know it. Because the twinkle in her eye and the brightness and the way she would light up a room. I wish your pain would go away. That probably ain't going to happen. So what can I do? Jabez hooked up to something. He connected to God. He said, God, with you in my life, I know I can be what? Come on. With you in my life, I know I can be what? What do we call the Beatitudes? Over there we call it, what did Jesus say? What was his word? He called it what? Blessed. Is that what he said? Blessed. That's the word happy. What did Jabez pray for? Bless me. Bless me. And this is just me talking to you. I don't have all the answers, but I am telling you this. I believe the man was a man of pain. I believe it marked his life. I believe he asked God, please God, let me be happy. I want to be happy. I don't want to be grieved. I don't want to live like this any longer. Oh God, please. Are you feeling it? Did God answer his prayer? Let's look at the scripture. Oh yeah, pop it up. Yes, way. Come on. Did he answer his prayer? Are you kidding me? Look at verse chapter 9. And Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. Did he answer his prayer? Absolutely. It said God granted his request at the end of verse 10. It said God granted his request. But listen, listen. He was more honorable than all his brethren. Did God answer his prayer? Absolutely. Do you think Jabez, that boy of pain, do you think he was more honorable than all his brethren growing up in pain? Yes or no? No. Here's how he became more honorable. God answered his prayer. You see what I'm saying? Did y'all get that? How did he become more honorable? God answered his prayer. God did exactly for him what he asked. And because God did that, that elevated him above everybody. Got it? God made him more honorable. God answered his prayer. God blessed Jabez remarkably. We're closing the message. How do we know he answered his prayer? Because he said he granted his request at the end of verse 10. God blessed Jabez remarkably and repeatedly his whole life. God enlarged Jabez's heart and he filled it up with his holy presence. God touched Jabez, and his hand remained on him all the days of his life. God kept Jabez from evil. And a really cool thing. One last thing God did for him. One last thing. And he did it in your lifetime, in my lifetime. He changed the meaning of his name. His name, really, in the beginning, meant what? But to us in this room, those that read the book, and now you that heard this message, Jabez will always be remembered not as a man of pain, but for now, his name is synonymous with a man of what? Can God do that for you? It's your choice. Do you want to keep living under that mantle and shadow of pain the rest of your life? Or do you want to start crying out to God, bless me. Bless me greatly. Amen? God can do it, friend. We're done, ain't we, Raj? Jabez, a man of pain to a man of prayer. I love this guy. I could keep talking all day. Let's praise the Lord for his word. Amen? Praise you, Lord. Amen! Thank you, Lord. Good stuff.